Yes.
Excuse me, this is the operator. This is to inform all parties that this call is being recorded. If you have any objections, please disconnect at this time.
Thank you very much. Hello, good evening, good morning, everyone. Gisela, please help me do a roll call.
Absolutely. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. On today's work prioritization model group call on Monday, the 29th of March, we have Olga Cavalli, Wolf Ulrich Knoben, Chuck Gomes, Jamie Wagner, we are trying to get hold of him. From staff, we have Linda Saint-Géry, Rob Hogarth, Ken Bauer, and myself, Gisela Gruber-White. If I can also please remind everyone to state their names when speaking, and we have apologies from Rosemary Sinclair. Thank you. Over to you, Olga.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Gisela. And thank you, everyone, for joining. Ken was so kind to send us a new version of the document. I personally checked it and made a few comments in the list. Some others did. I am okay with Chuck's suggestions. I think Wolf also made some comments. So I would like, Ken, if you can, now we have the document in our screen, if you can go through the document and see if we have some comments or additions or we want to change something, and maybe you can explain us the structure that you finally used for the document.
Sure. Thank you, Olga. let's see. It would be great if today we could get all the way through Section 6. And what I would like to do is to take notes here indicating that we have accepted each section that's in red and get rid of all the comments. And then I can send out a clean version. We can take one more look at it in between this and the next session. Does that sound reasonable?
This is Chuck. It does to me, except that I would hope we don't have to go item by item, because I think it sounds like all of us have reviewed this and made some comments on the list like we planned. So
okay.
I hope that we can do it more quickly, more on a broad scale basis than an item by item basis.
Yeah. This is Ken. How about if let me try to direct. I'll try to be the traffic cop through this, and then if I get too bogged down, somebody please pull me back up. On 6.1.1, I think the only comment was Wolf, and he wanted to change the footnote, which reads, "Procedures relating to the council's project management role will be developed subsequently," and he suggested we change "will" to "may," and I guess we should just see if that's a good change or not.
That's fine with Chuck.
That's all that's okay for me.
This is Ken. The only comment I would have is that when we use the term "may," are we suggesting that the council may actually take no action, or there would be no future action with respect to the management role of the prioritization?
It's Wolf speaking. That's not my intention, Ken. So I tried to explain that in my email. Because I think this is something which has to be discussed, really, whether we, you know, what we do understand under for project management. It seems to me right now so that we are. So that's also my thinking. You know, if I think about project management, I'm working with a company and I know about that what a company is doing. But it may be done in a different way, because we are a real diverse group on council as well, and have different views on that. So I tried well to find out how to approach, you know, not just to put a certain direction on that.
This is Ken. Would it help if we said procedures relating to the project management will be discussed subsequently? So we keep the emphasis on will, but we don't say develop. We say they'll be discussed subsequently. That leaves all the room open for, you know, redefining the terms and making sure everybody's clear on what they mean and all of that.
If that is understood as well by the others, so this way, Chuck, you have heard my intentions, though, and I would go along that in the discussion on council level as well.
This is Chuck. I would too. That what you, I think that that covers Wolf's concern and seems to be okay.
Sure.
Okay. Super. I'll note that. Change footnote to will be discussed. All right. In 6.1.2, let's just see. Yeah, I guess I want to. Is Jamie able to join yet? Are you on the call?
Yes, I am.
Oh, super.
Hello?
Jamie, you had originally suggested that the last sentence be listed as a goal. And what I did is I left the three goals A, B, and C, and then I added this sentence that says, to achieve the above purposes, this section describes a methodology in 6.3 for reaching council agreement on project priorities. If we do it that way, have we captured what you had hoped to get in your thought?
Yeah, okay. Okay. It's an implied goal, but I think it still is a goal. But anyway, I think the agreement on project priorities is the goal of the work itself. If there is no agreement on project priorities, then what would be the point of doing this work?
Does anybody else have any comments?
I'm okay with leaving this as it's an implied goal, but if it's difficult for the group to accept this, I would leave it. I'm okay with leaving it in an implied goal in this sentence.
Any other? Does anyone else say want to comment on the structure of 6.1.2? Okay, hearing none, we'll move on. I'll accept all of the changes and remove the comments there. And 6.2, this is the first time the subject of eligible versus qualified or some other language comes up. And I believe that on the list, those who commented said eligible and not eligible worked fine. And so this would be the time to ask, does anybody have any strong objection or any objection to using eligible in place of prioritized and non-eligible in place of non-prioritized?
No problem.
Okay. Pushing ahead then to 6.2.1. I don't think there's anything there. 6.2. Let me just make notes here. 6.2.1, okay. 6.2. How about on 6.2.2? I did try to make the category versus classification clean in every case. Jamie, I didn't, as I said in one of my notes, I didn't actually create definitions because I was having trouble figuring that out, but I think I've used the terms consistently throughout the document, and hopefully it's relatively clear in each case what we're talking about.
Yeah, and I understood that classification implies categorization.
Yes, it does. That's right. They're related. Okay, 6.2.2, I'm going to mark that one as okay. 6.2.3. I'm going to mark that as okay. And let's go down. I'm sliding mine down. Hopefully you guys are scrolling as well, since I'm not controlling it for you. In 6.2.4, I take it that's okay. Let me just pause here. Olga, you raised a question that I didn't fully understand on the email list about where the project lists live. And 6.2.4 actually answers that question. The GNSO website is listed there, and I actually have the link embedded there in blue. It should show up that way.
This is Olga. Yes, that was my question. Sometimes GNSO web page may be confusing, so I think the link was, but it's included, so sorry for that.
That's okay. And I wasn't sure what you meant by a glossary exactly.
No, I wondered if we should explain a little bit what does the list have. But don't worry, just come.
Yeah, I did put some material in there. We are going to have, of course, where that list gets published, it will have all the same information that it has now in our Word document. And we'll take another look at that, I'm sure, as we move along. Okay, pressing on to 6.3.1. There were really no changes there. You know what? I'm going to stop. I'm just going to stop putting OK, and just I'll just put the changes where they occur.
I have only a minor observation. Is it the paragraph?
Yeah, I was thinking the same thing, Jamie. It's probably this section.
Yeah. 6.3 says this paragraph outlines. Is it a paragraph or is it an entire item?
Section probably makes more sense, Ken.
Section.
Oh, I understand. I was having trouble figuring out what you guys were talking about. In 6.3, this section versus paragraph.
Right.
Yeah, thank you. I got it, and you're correct on that. One of the things I had been confused about in the whole way we talk about the GNSO operating procedures, and I'm finally landing on, at the 6.3 level, that's like a that's a section, and 6.0 is a chapter, and then each thing that's smaller than that would be a paragraph. Try that for size. Okay, so 6.3.1 is okay, I take it? Let's go on to 6.3.2, frequency. We're okay on that. 6.3.3, the general procedure. I've now listed four steps there. Confirm the list. Individuals do ratings, then the group reaches consensus on each one, then we publish the results. Is that okay?
We won't mention in 6.3.2 that it will be during the ICANN meetings or not?
Yeah, what I was thinking was, just based on what happened in Nairobi, what I was thinking is that the way I wrote it is we time the prioritization so that it can be approved at the ICANN meeting, but it doesn't happen at the ICANN meeting. It happens in advance of it.
Well,
because
we should be as flexible as we can there, because one annual meeting, it might be better to do it before we ever arrive. Another one, it might be better to do it on the weekend. So why don't we just leave it open enough so that we can design it as best fits the needs at the case in point?
Yeah, I think I think this writing covers your concern, Chuck. It can be at the meeting or before it. I understand that the wording of this paragraph covers both.
Yes, this is Ken. Thank you, Jamie. I just reread it and said, yeah, you know what? We would be okay, right? It's just that it has to be timed, and it can be done either in advance or at the session, as long as it's approved at the session. So I think we're probably okay there, yeah.
I agree.
Okay, super.
Chuck.
Go ahead.
Oh, let's move to next item.
6.3.3.
Well, Ken, before you move on to that, and I know this is something that we could only discuss briefly, are you guys comfortable that the language allows you to reconsider priorities more often? So you're doing it at least by the annual meeting, but that you can also consider it at other times? Are you comfortable that the language provides for that?
Yeah.
Well, Rob,
second sentence.
The second sentence says a prioritization session may be conducted more frequently if recommended by the chair and approved by the council.
Great, thank you. I'm not on Acrobat, I'm mobile, so
Okay, so you can't see it, right? Okay, good enough.
Right. Thank you.
All right, so how about 633? Anything there?
Yep.
Oh, that's outstanding. So that's all. That's all I show for. Because what we sort of decided to do was to put all the real mechanics and logistics and other details in the annex. And so if that's it, then Olga, I would suggest that we declare chapter six completed, and I'll clean it up and put out another version. And unless there's any other thing that comes up in subsequent discussions, that piece is done.
This is Olga.
Yeah.
I agree.
Cheers.
Cheers is right. All right. I'm going to minimize this, everyone, and I'm going to bring up the annex, okay? And the annex is this one. And, again, you should have control over the adjustment of size. Okay, should we...
Not yet.
I'm sorry?
Not yet, I don't have control.
All right, so you don't see the slider?
No.
Not yet.
All right, hang on.
There we go.
Yes, okay. Yes. Thank
yeah,
you.
You know what, there's a little button on my screen, and the gray in and out is very, very faint, and I can't always tell when it's on or off, so it looks like it always puts it in sync mode, and I have to unsync it so you guys can control it. Okay. Let me just make a note here. Annex next, and I guess we'll start with step one. Okay. Step one is to update the project listings, and you see the changes I made to 1.1. I guess we should start with that, huh? Everybody okay with 1.1?
I'm okay with it all, except for the two places where there were questions. You know, or no, the one place that wasn't a question, the length of time a counselor can speak to an issue. That was the only one change I recommended, and then the other issue was whether somebody who misses the 10-day
window. Yeah, We'll come to those real fast.
What I was suggesting is does anybody have any other issues besides those?
Let's move step by step. I think it's okay. I'm okay with 1.1.
Okay. 1.2, this is where I took all the material we had before under new project, and now I just embedded it as part of what steps would be done to clean up the project list. I did leave the questions in there, so we have an A and a B section now. But I did a little rewriting to that 1.1. Okay, so 1.2 just covers the new projects. Everybody okay with 1.2? Okay, so in essence what we'll do is the first thing that the chair will do is to say, okay, let's look at all the existing projects, make sure they're all classified, categorized properly, then let's go to the new projects, if there are any that are pending that haven't been done, and determine if they're non-eligible or eligible, and if they're eligible, then they'll go into the work prioritization list. So we start out step one with a complete list of projects that need to be prioritized. Then step two is each individual council member does their own individual rating. And so 2.1 didn't really have any changes. 2.2 again, very...
I think there is something is pending in, let's see, 2.1. 1.2 is that if, well, depending upon the outcome of the bulk analysis, if a project is approved, the CIR will ask for a recommendation from staff. And the CIR will announce staff's recommendation. And if it is announced as a non-eligible, and a counselor disagrees with that, is any procedure?
Where are you at, Jamie?
It's 1.2.
Oh, well, you're back in 1.2. Okay.
I think 1.2 B, letter B.
Oh, okay.
Letter B, yes. Letter B. In the case that the chair announces the staff's recommendation as a new project to be considered as non-eligible, and if there is disagreement with this recommendation, there is not a procedure to resolve this.
Okay. Yeah, what it says is the chair will announce staff's recommendation and ask for council approval, but if it doesn't get council approval, then
yes,
we don't. Yeah, what happens, right?
Well, we could take a simple vote on the council which category, and just use the default voting threshold. That's pretty easy.
It's Will speaking. So I think we have only two alternatives, eligible or non. So in case the staff's recommendation is rejected by the council, it would mean the contrary, the other.
That's true. that's pretty straightforward.
No, what is the rejection? It's a simple vote, a majority, one vote. What is the rejection is not explicit.
Ken. Chuck can correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe that the way that the GNSO procedures and the bylaws are written, anything that is not a specified threshold for voting is considered a default, which is 50% of each house.
Simple majority of each house.
Correct. So what we could say here is the chair will announce staff's recommendation and ask for council approval by vote.
If necessary. That's what I would try to avoid, is that a formal voting to be necessary. I think that only a vote, formal vote, should be taken if there is disagreement of one councilor, at least one councilor. Then a formal vote will be called, but otherwise there will be no voting. Would like to be to have it stated to avoid future confusion if one councilor. Okay.
And that's typically, this is Chuck, that's typically the way we approach it, too. We just, you know, are there any objections to this? If there's none, we move on. If there are, then we could pull the members to see.
But you think this would, Chuck, you think this would be the case for a formal council meeting to... or it could be treated on our list.
Well, it depends. We try to do. Unfortunately, some people just don't participate very well on the list. So I've often used the technique myself where I'll say, well, if nobody objects to this in 48 hours, I'm going to assume it's approved. It's about the only way to make it happen on the list sometimes.
Yeah.
And keep in mind that a formal vote doesn't really necessarily mean all that much formality, you know. Don't be too afraid of a formal vote. It may not need a pre-written motion and second, and you know we can usually do things like this fairly quickly and still be consistent with our operating procedures. At the same time, I think you raise a good point. We probably ought to add a sentence or something, or just modify this sentence so that it's clear what happens if there's no if somebody does object.
Yeah, this is Ken. I started to just jot some notes over on that right side of the Adobe room. What I've written is something that might go like this. I can tweak it. The chair will announce staff's recommendation and ask for council approval by voice acclamation. If any objections are raised, a formal vote will be taken.
The only problem that I have with by voice acclamation, if we do, for example, if we're able to resolve it on the list, that doesn't work. So, So you might want to just modify it. Again, I think allowing enough flexibility, keeping this as flexible as possible so that we're not locked into necessarily doing it in a formal meeting.
Yeah, that's what I was referring. I would like, if there is any objections from a counselor, and this leaves open to be in the list or in a formal meeting. But if there is any objection, if any objection is there, a formal vote will be taken.
And would it be okay to say if there is any objection, counselors will be polled? And what I'm getting at here, again, when you say a formal vote, that implies a fairly specific procedure, either in an in-person meeting or on the list. And it might very well be possible just to poll how many, you know, people support this approach, how many don't, something like that. I'm a little bit bothered by having formal vote there.
Okay.
Yeah, but anyway, I think the threshold of 50% of each house should be maintained.
Yes, and that automatically agreed, and we have that in that's actually in the bylaws, so we're okay there.
Okay.
Can I say if determined by the chair, a vote will be taken. So
saying counselors will be polled to determine support?
Okay. Does that work?
Yeah, okay.
Okay. I will do that. Okay, I've noted that.
I'm taking for granted that this implies that the normal thresholds will apply here. Is it correct?
That's my assumption, Jamie. So I think it is. Does anybody disagree with that?
No.
The voting thresholds come into play, and those are defined in the bylaws. So, what I was trying to avoid by not saying formal vote is, you know, formal vote implies very specific procedures, whether it be on the list or in a meeting. Whereas polling, whether it's even in my opinion, polling has the same thresholds as a formal vote. Does anybody disagree with that?
I would like to for Ken or to get assured of this. I don't think we can
Well, we can cover it without having to do any more work. We can just say determine support based on approved voting thresholds.
Yeah. Okay. That's okay.
Yeah, this is Ken. I'm pretty sure that this procedure will also get reviewed by legal, as it seems like all GNSO operating procedure drafts are submitted, and we'll get some indication from them as to whether that kind of language is sufficient. I suspect that someone might say, well, you can poll, but then what if you don't determine support? Then what happens? I'm not sure we've addressed.
Well, then either the project doesn't get added to the list or, what are the options? The options are it's eligible, it's ineligible, or it's not even considered a project.
It may be that Wolf is right, that, you know, if staff makes a recommendation that says non-eligible and the council, there isn't support for that position, then it'll go to the other one. That may just turn out to be the right answer. Okay. Any other discussion on that point? I'll try to redraft that consistent with our discussion. Okay. Moving on to step two, I think we're okay on 2-1. There weren't any changes there. Also 2-2. I also very very just small wordsmith changes there. How about 2.3? This is where we decided to give them, I think Jamie's recommendation was 10 days to finish the individual ratings and then submit them. And that's now in part of 2.3. Okay, hearing nothing. 2.3.1. That was another suggestion by Jamie to actually highlight the statistical definition as a separate subparagraph, and I did that. And I also I also changed consensus everywhere to agreement per our earlier meeting. Step three is group discussion and agreement. Now, at this point, Chuck, I think, responded to this issue. I put a comment in to this extent. If a counselor doesn't submit their individual ratings, then would he or she still be permitted to participate in the group discussion? Chuck's response to that was, yes, I think that's fine. My only comment would be, might counselors just skip the individual rating in order to just participate in the group thing?
Well, we're not allowing them to express their opinion. They're not going to be their rating's not going to be in the group ratings that we're using. All I'm saying is that if they have a comment, they should be able to share it.
But they will be able to vote or not?
No, not if they miss the 10-day window. By vote, we mean, you know, expressing their ratings.
Yes.
My concern is if we allow them to do it late, then it's going to greatly impact the time, because we've now got to take their rating and add it to the mix in a live process. And if you have three or four people doing that, all of a sudden our 2 hours isn't going to work, even for the first one.
Yeah.
So, yeah, Chuck, your explanation was deeper than what I read in the email. I see now. I think I can fix that in the paragraph. So we probably just need to say exactly that. If a counselor does not submit an individual rating, he or she will be able to participate in the discussion but not in the voting as per 3.2. Whatever it is. 3.
Well, what do you mean by not in the voting? I mean
– Well, that was what Jamie just asked, and you said – I thought you said yes. He said, could they vote? And you said no, they wouldn't be able to.
Well, it depends
vote
what time right. you're talking about. I mean, if we have to go to another rating – okay, in the live meeting, they could participate then. But in the initial ratings that have already been tabulated, we don't want to come back in on that.
I was asking if they would be able to participate in the new the new session, the new, if a new session is required, if a new session is required, and a range is higher than two, then they will be able to rank. Yes.
Yes, I think that's fine because that doesn't cause any delays.
Yes, I think otherwise, if we did otherwise, we would face a strong opposition. So I think this is the rating will not be considered. Well, the ratings will not be considered in the first.
Yes.
But I think it's not. Yes. Okay. But they may expand and vote in the next ratings.
Yes.
Yes. Okay. You created a new concept, Agreement Brown.
Well, I reserve the right to change the language when I actually write this, but I wanted to get the idea that I think I follow.
Yes.
All right.
Okay.
So yes, the initial individual ratings are not going to be revisited. But as soon as if a project reaches the point where it has established agreement as a result of the individual ratings and therefore is not discussed, it stays in that category. It doesn't get revisited because somebody says, "Well, I would have voted on a 6 versus a 2." But if it does end up in the group discussion process, then any counselor who's participating in that session can contribute, discuss, and also poll in the polling vote, right?
Yes, that's it.
Okay,
yes.
I will capture that in some new language to reflect that in step 3.
Yeah.
And then send that to everybody. And I'll leave that red line. I'm going to clear up all the existing red line and all the existing comments and just show what's new so you'll be able to identify it. Okay.
Appreciate that.
You bet. It's getting a little unwieldy. All right, so let's go to 3.11. This has to do now with limits and time.
I would only say that it's not necessary a teleconference session. In 3.1.1, conference or presential meeting.
Yeah, in other words, it doesn't have to be a teleconference.
Yes.
Change teleconference to, or just remove it?
You can probably just remove it, I think, in a session.
Delete.
Delete.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay, I got that.
I fully support, as you can tell by my other comments, not being so specific that we tie our hands to particular things, and that's consistent with that.
Okay, good. And the footnote was my attempt to address, it might have been, I can't remember now if it was Wolf or Jamie, but the idea was as sessions progress and as experience is gained, we might have 2 hours, we might have less, and I just took it out of there, and stuck it in a footnote. Are we okay on all that, or?
Fine.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay, super.
See the footnote. Okay, it's okay. I'm okay with that.
All right. 3.1.2 did not have any changes made. 3.2.1 in the procedure section just changed eligible there. 3.2.2. Okay. Is this where the time limit, the 1 or 2 minutes, is raised?
Yeah, it is. It says a 2-minute time limit.
Okay, so maybe we should have some discussion here, because I think Chuck had thought in his comment that we might go down to 1 minute.
That is correct.
Ken, this is Olga.
Mm-hmm.
2 minutes, 1 minute, I understand, but are we going to measure the time? I mean, it sounds a little bit not realistic. I would say the shortest, or somehow expressing that it should be quick, but I don't think it does make sense, 1 or 2 minutes expressing that.
Well, if you don't, keep in mind, whether we measure it or not, what you do is you measure it if you have to. If people are talking too long, you measure it. So if everything's moving along, you don't necessarily have to turn a clock on.
Okay.
The same thing happens in ICANN meetings. You know, they don't do it until they get to a situation where they have to. But the problem of it is, keep in mind, we're dealing with a group of over 20 and 20 people. And granted, we're going to have the people at the extremes talk first and so forth, but even if you have three or four of those, and each one talks 2 minutes, you know, with four, you're already up to 8 minutes of your time, and we have a whole bunch of projects, you know, to go through. So, I mean, if you got a point that's new, you should be able to express it in a minute.
Okay.
And I don't think anybody's going to be so rigid that if somebody goes over a little bit. The point is, we want to clearly communicate, let's be efficient about this. Let's make your comments concise. Have them prepared so that you can make your point. And then if somebody has a question about your point, they can ask it, and you get to speak again.
And, Chuck, would you also make that one 1 minute or less?
Yeah, I think that the one minute's a good guideline. I hadn't even thought about that, Ken. So the point is we need people to be brief and to the point. Otherwise, we're going to need a lot more than 2 hours.
Ken, this is Solomon, and I agree with Chuck. In Sharm el-Sheikh, in IGF, we had in the last session that we presented several documents. We had a limit of 3 minutes. With the clock going backwards. And 3 minutes was just to read maybe 1 or 2 pages. It depends on your speed. But so 1 minute would be enough.
Okay. I'm hearing that the team has reached a consensus on 1 minute for both the initial expression of rationale and in the Q&A period. Everyone should, and I use the term honor, right? That everyone's going to honor that. And hopefully, as Chuck points out, it's not required to pull a clock out. But if everybody honors it, then, you know, it'll go reasonably quickly. Are we okay? Go ahead.
No. I think we have written here 2 minutes.
Yes.
You are reducing this to 1 minute.
Correct.
Each counselor is asked to honor a 2-minute time limit and provide an explanation. Would you think you should reduce this to 1 minute? I would preserve the 2 minutes and the 10 minutes per item, the two thresholds, and to be used. In case, just in case, you know, we have to have this procedure very well defined, but the rigidity will not be done per se, but if needed, and I think that the chair will manage this.
Notice, Jamie, it doesn't, this is Chuck again, this is not rigid at all the way it's worded. It says each counselor is asked to honor a 1 minute, I'm changing it, a 1 minute time limit. There's nothing to prevent us from allowing a little more time if it's needed. But we're setting an expectation that people will work towards. If you set it too high, it'll just go longer. And I think we need to set the expectation at a low amount. And if we need more, we can add more. This doesn't prevent that.
Okay, I'm just saying that the 1 minute time limit, it can be considered too small, but it's okay. I will give you an example here. Now, just to, because I'm not a very good English speaker, it took me exactly 30 seconds now since I began talking. And you know, almost 1 minute, and I said nothing.
Could we put a footnote that Jamie can have too? No, it's a valid point, but I don't see us, you know, in cases where English is not the native language, I can't imagine any of us being too rigid on that. But if you have a lot of other people that are native English speakers that are, you know, taking much more than that, then this thing is just going to take a lot longer. Keep in mind, how many projects do we have? How many people on the council? We're not talking about a group our size right now. We're talking about a group that's, you know, 20 plus.
This is Ken. Well, does it help at all? Would it help at all if we said to honor a 1 to 2 minute time limit in providing an explanation?
Okay, it's okay. It's okay. If it's not rigid, but once rigidity is brought about, because it could be, it can make some people refrain. To give sometimes insightful participation. That's what I have in mind. And Chuck, by the way, it took you 28 seconds, and you're a very good English speaker.
And so I give you my other 32 seconds, Jamie.
Yeah, that would be good.
I'm okay if we put 1 to 2. I prefer 1, but I can live with that.
Yeah, I'm only suggesting it, not advocating it.
I understand. Go ahead and put 1 to 2, unless somebody else doesn't want to do that. That's fine. I'm okay with that. I at least want that target of 1 minute in there, so that because it is very brief. But we don't need people repeating things. And you say that elsewhere, Ken, in this, that have already been said. We want them to focus on very specific points that add to the understanding.
And I think this will give weapons to the chair to influence, to refrain somebody that is repeating an argument. With this wording, we have the weapons for a good chair, like Chuck, to conduct a good discussion, an objective one.
Yes.
Okay. This is Ken. Any other discussion on that point? If not, we've got a consensus on 1 to 2 minutes, and I'll. I guess the second one probably should be left as alone. Should be constrained to. I could say can be. Should also be constrained to 1 to 2 minutes or less. We can do it the same way in both.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Well, okay.
Go ahead.
I think future rounds could have a tighter time limit. I mean, here I would be okay with 1 minute. And at least I think the second discussion should be, I think, an overall time limit of 5 minutes.
All right. Well, we're coming up on that in a second. Maybe we can see if we can figure out how to get that done. So moving on then to 3.2.3, there weren't any comments there. That just deals with the voting. 3.2.4 is okay. And all I do in 3.2.4 is say we're just going to follow the Q&A period similar to the first round without putting specific time constraints on it. In fact, I even said under the same time limits.
Yep.
Does that work for everybody? And again, I think what I hear Chuck saying is if it's going well and things are moving along, I mean, there, even in our six, when we did with 5 or 6 people, there were a couple of projects that took longer to discuss, and then a few others we went through very quickly. And so there might be some of this, well, I'm going to borrow some time from the first three that were easy in order to spend more time on four, which takes longer. As long as we get it all done in an hour and a half or whatever, it probably doesn't matter.
But anyway, since in the subsequent rounds there is a tendency to repeat arguments, so I would make the time limits tighter, and I would reduce half. I would have 1 minute and five minutes overall, because the subsequent rounds tend to maintain the argument, and if there is not a convergence, there will be a repetition and this repetition does not have to take more than 1 minute.
Any other comments? Okay, then do we agree that we should rewrite 3.2.4 to impose actually specific time limits and use 1 and 5? Does everybody agree on that?
Sounds pretty good.
Okay. So let me just make a note here, rewrite to impose 1 minute and 5 total. In second round, okay. I'll put them together on that.
Subsequent rounds, second and third, it's subsequent rounds.
And okay.
Yes. Okay.
All right. Anything in 3.2.5? If not, we are nearing the end. Step 4 results. Then that just takes us to this final question in the yellow, the note. You'll notice that there's no place in the procedures in the annex where we talked about using difficulty as a tiebreaker. We did mention it in Section 6. That it could become something that got used, but there's no specific procedure for it yet. And what I comment here is that I'm not sure it fits anywhere in here, because it's not something that is a prioritization activity per se. It only comes up in the management of the project workload when you have to make a decision and you look at your priority list and you say, okay, the bottom, let's say I'm just making this up, projects 13, 14, and 15, we don't have enough resources to do them all. They're the bottom three, but they're tied. We can't differentiate between 13, 14, and 15 based on the original prioritization rankings. Then we resort to difficulty, and we would go through a similar process that we just went through for overall value, which would bring up the whole polling and rating and all the same steps. It's just that we would only do it for three projects in this case, 13, 14, and 15, to break the tie. Thoughts?
So you're proposing a whole new section for explaining that. Why don't we just add a paragraph and explain that, what you have just said, very quickly? Very clear.
This is Jamie. As I understand, we have two ways of moving. One way is simply removing difficulty as a secondary factor and finishing the annex here. The step 4 is results, and we admit to have size. The other way to move is, well, we maintain difficulty there in the item, I don't know which in the other, and we would have to have a step 4 that would be a tiebreaker session, and then the publication of results would move to step 5.
either we remove difficulty from our factors, and it's not a factor, and our work finishes with the prioritization of value done, and we admit sight.
This is Ken. I have something, a third option in my mind, which is that we keep what we said, and I have it up on the screen now. We had it in 6.3.1b. In the event that two or more projects have the same value rating but must be prioritized individually for any reason, that would not come up during prioritization, but it might come up for some other time, the following factor will be separately rated difficulty. And then we say what it is. Now, what I have in mind is that this project management stuff that I've been referring to, I do think we're going to ultimately end up with a new section, either a bigger section in the GNSO procedures which swallows prioritization, or a separate section that deals with the managerial aspects of using prioritization in the council. And in that section, which has yet to be written, which was implied in the footnote we discussed earlier, that's where we would put that procedure. That's where that paragraph, Olga, would be written. It would because under the normal circumstances of managing the workload and the council has to make a decision and there's a tie in the ratings, what do? That's where that paragraph would live. So what I'm seeing in this team was asked to develop a prioritization methodology. It is in the nearing the process of completing that work, and it has done it. But the entire managerial job of the council isn't done just with prioritization. And so we're going to need either another team, this team, somebody, to take this work now and move it to the next step, which is, okay, now how do we act on this data? What other information does the council need, like milestone tracking, resource capacity utilization, and other typical data that people use when they're managing work? The prioritization itself is just one factor of that.
You know, this is Chuck. I can see it both ways. I can see the, for example, the difficulty being included in the prioritization exercise, and I can see it in the management, in either or, and I don't know that I have strong feelings either way, but it could also be part of the prioritization. If you have three projects that are considered to have comparable value, do the one that's easiest first, and so on, like that. That's a prioritization exercise.
This is Olga. I think it should be included in this exercise, and perhaps, in my view, more simplified, but referring to the other process, which is the same. But just my thought.
Well, this is Ken. When I say it, we the team defined difficulty as not part of the prioritization process. We specifically had it in, and we said now we're going to take it out, and we're only going to use it as a tiebreaker if it's ever needed. It may never be needed, right? So, but if we change our minds and we want to go back now and say, okay, the first step of the prioritization is to go through and do all the value ratings, and then everywhere there's a tie, we go back through the same process and do difficulty so that there are no ties when we're done, we can certainly do that. But that's not what the team decided earlier on.
Yeah, well, I guess I understood what we decided a little bit differently than you did. But I don't think that you have to break all ties. If you've got enough resources to complete the work, you don't have to break a tie. It's only in cases where you don't have enough resources.
Right, but to me, isn't that a management question? Wouldn't that come up during a management dialogue around? I'm trying to envision how it would come up in a prioritization context.
Yes, well, it's Wolf speaking. So I fully agree to Chuck. So it may come up later on. You know, and that, you know, it depends on the resources available, really, and that's what we can. Cannot see at the time when we are doing the prioritization, exactly, you know. So that means it may come up, but if not, the result would be, okay, let's do it in parallel and not breaking the tie. So that's how I see, you know, we are not urged, really not urged to break any tie under any condition. It depends on the real conditions we have with regards to the available resources.
This is Ken. Let me just try a different question. This has to do with time. No, I'm sorry. I need to be quiet up here.
Yeah, no, just one comment. We are 5 minutes past the 6 minutes.
Oh, I lost track of time. I'm sorry.
And we should perhaps decide if we can stay longer or we can discuss in the list and sit our next conference call and decide our next step. So first, I would suggest that you send us all the documents with the agreed changes. And how do we want to proceed with this discussion about including or not the tiebreaker? And
can we extend for 15 minutes? If anybody have a problem with that?
I can do it, but we should agree on that.
I can do it.
I can do it.
Okay.
Me too.
Okay. This is Jamie, and I would like to bring some thoughts, some thinking, because when we began this work, I thought prioritization was a managerial tool, and my thoughts were in the sense that we were kind of doing a project management tool, bringing a project management tool to the council, to GNSO. With the, along the, our work, Ken brought this differentiation between prioritization and management. And I could understand that, and I think this is a good way for us to finish our work focusing in prioritization and leaving the other managerial tools to prioritization work. And I think tie-breaking is a managerial tool. I agree with Ken that this is a managerial tool. My only point is that we should remove this fact of difficulty from the prioritization work, and we could final in another document that managerial work will be necessary, and that one way to proceed would be with tie-breaking and difficulty. But I would vote for us to consider our work done and not to include difficulty or tie-breaking in the prioritization effort. This would make our work finished and more focused objective.
Jamie, this is Ken. Just a question, if I may. We currently do not have difficulty defined as part, I'm sorry, we do not have difficulty incorporated into the methodology itself. All we have done as a team is said that the there are two factors, and we're only going to prioritize on one, and the second one will be reserved if ever needed, and we don't say how. We just mention that. Would you also take that reference out?
Yes, I would, because this is advancing a work that we intentionally left out of our scope. Our scope was to come to the council with a prioritization method, and well, there is something that we thought ahead of our scope, and I think it's okay. Once this work is committed to a team and can be this thing or not, then we could add our thoughts that difficulty would be a good tiebreaker, but they cannot. They can't come up with other stuff. So I would say that this is not in the scope of our work.
Now, this is Chuck. I have a question. If were we not, after we finish what we're just about done on now, going to then talk about what happens with these priorities?
This is Ken. I thought that we had decided that we were not going to go that far,
then that would be consistent with the argument right now of deferring the difficult issue to a management decision. If, in fact, we're going to talk about, okay, what does the council do with the priorities, what happens next, that then is in the management arena. So if we were going to do that, it would make sense to do this as well. That's my line of reasoning here.
Yeah, I think Jamie makes a powerful argument for taking difficulty sort of out of the entire process and leaving it for the next group to figure out.
I have one consideration that I would like to add. When we began, I thought prioritization was part of a managerial effort and a managerial tool. And I think most of the counselors that are not participating in this team have this expectation also. So I think we can be very objective. We will have our work done, okay, but it will be kind of disappointing to the counselors. We will face some criticism.
This is Ken. I agree with that and have always agreed with that. With the group's indulgence, I'd like to read a short paragraph. I told you I was going to write a draft letter to the council from the team, right, from Olga. This is a draft, and I'm just putting this language together. I started working on it today. I'd like to read one paragraph out of that and see if this starts to capture where we are on this particular issue. This isn't the whole letter, but this is one paragraph out of it. May I read that?
Sure.
Okay.
Although outside its direct scope, the drafting team has spent considerable time considering how the council can make effective use of the work prioritization once it is completed. Although prioritization is an important first step, the DT, the drafting team, believes that it will be important that the council have access to appropriate project information, data, and tools to assist with its active management of the workload. To facilitate these managerial responsibilities, the drafting team recommends that all GNSO projects be documented and tracked on an ongoing basis using a feature-rich, web-based application that will assign staff and community resources to projects and tasks complete with time tracking and a collaborative tool sets, including integrated blogs, wikis, calendar, document repositories, etc., that enable work to be performed efficiently, effectively, and transparently. Information from such an application suite, properly summarized and analyzed by staff, will enable the council to make better informed decisions by understanding and evaluating more clearly the resource constraints impacting existing projects, as well as the effects of new work that must be integrated into the total portfolio. End.
The only point is that, I'm okay with this paragraph, but also we should emphasize that a process of, a tool is part of the project management work, and it's a medium, and it does not occur, project management does not occur if there is not a process that involves a periodical evaluation by the and I would say here, if the council will manage, we would have to have decision as to who, where are the managerial responsibilities? They lie with the chair, with the vice chair, and with the the group chair or with the whole council. We would have to have managerial responsibilities defined in the process of anyway of accompanying the project. To have a project management, we have to have a management and evaluation for Yali Forum.
This is Ken. Jamie, the board governance committee actually assigned that managerial responsibility for the policy process to the GNSO Council, and that particular element, that managerial responsibility, was actually tasked and assigned to the GCOT, the work team that's handling the GNSO operations. I don't think they've done any work on it, though. But there was a team assigned specifically to do that work, and they haven't. Now, since then, this team got started to put the prioritization together.
You're talking about the council operations work team?
That's correct.
Yeah. Okay. By the way, I want to point out something, a very practical need, and that is that, you know, I personally fully support the need for some tools to assist the council in its management responsibilities. But we're coming up on a deadline here very shortly where the budget for fiscal year 2011 is going to need to have that kind of input, and we're a little bit behind the power curve on that. So my question then is, is it unreasonable, even though it's kind of vague right now, to come up with some sort of an estimate with regard to how much funds might be needed to put these tools into place? And
it wouldn't necessarily be that difficult. In fact, one of the things that I have had in mind, I've been thinking about this for some time, is the use of open source tool sets, which don't even require license fees.
Okay.
And there's some very good ones that are out there. Now, you have implementation costs and training costs and things of that type. And we don't have to start with everything at once. So you can always start small. We're going to take a couple of projects and put them in and start working on milestones and tracking and have resources, put their time in, community and staff, so that we can begin to develop the kinds of information that ultimately you need to take advantage of the prioritization. Right? So I think that this was a much bigger project than we initially thought, and whenever I think about just looking at a prioritized list, it leaves me cold. It leaves me with I don't know what to do unless I also know how much time I have available, how many people there are, and all that information is really not available to the council. It's not available to the staff either. The only thing that's tracked in the GNSO right now is attendance records.
Well, and tools won't necessarily make that information available either.
Only if they're tended to regularly, right? I mean, tools don't do anything if people don't use them, right?
The bottom line, let's use the PI project as an example. Who knew that there would be 60 plus available people resources to work on that project? And I don't think a tool would have helped us figure that out.
That's true.
Yeah. What I'm bringing, Ken, is that tools are important. I'm not saying that they are not important, but I think the most important thing is to have a process to keep track with the tools available. If there is not a process, regular process of appraising projects, then the tool will be not used. So,
Jamie, this is Ken. I 100% endorse that. And I after I heard you say it, I thought, oh, I know how I can fix that paragraph, because you're right. I should have emphasized the processes, not just the tools, and I'll fix that in the next draft of that letter.
And I would say that we recognize that our work is a first step in this direction, and that we recommend not only the tools, but also some consequence to this work will be to devise some sort of process of appraising and using tools and which kind of ways we should manage the end of the project.
So this is Ken.
With your paragraph with this addition.
Sure, and I'm agreeing that that addition. I'll make that addition. That's an extremely valuable point, and I don't know how I missed it my the first time around. Maybe I'll take a shot at summarizing here. If we agree that the team's job was to create a prioritization, and the team is savvy enough to recognize that that is the first step of a larger managerial process, right? You still have to have priorities, but that's by itself, that's not enough. And the team is going to recommend to the council that it develop, discuss, agree, define terms, and pick this piece up, and do more work on that in that area. Then maybe what Jamie suggests is right. We don't need to put difficulty into this version right now. We can hold it back and give it to whoever gets that job to define and develop the management aspects that the council is going to need to do, including the processes and the tools.
And I'm okay with that, and here's why. Because really, when it really comes down to it, in any given instance, difficulty is just going to be one factor of probably multiple other factors that we might need to take into consideration at the time.
Mm-hmm. I fully support this approach.
How about Olga, Wolf, any other comments?
I'm okay with that. Your summarized explanation.
Okay, then I'm going to go ahead.
Just one more comment. I think we have to focus on finishing this methodology, and maybe we can set it as a first step of a broader bunch of tools. I also agree with Chuck that the tools won't give you the information of those variables that you don't know.
So, Wolf, are you okay with removing the reference to difficulty in the document?
Yes. Yeah, I'm okay with that.
Okay, then this is Ken. I think we may be at the point where I can clean up. I'll clean up six. I'll clean up the annex. I'll make all the changes we've discussed. I'll give you two new versions. That will only have red lines where we added new material for you to look at, and we'll take another look at these two documents. This time I'm going to put them together, right, six and annex in one document, so that would that make sense? I think that's how we would present it to the council, right, as opposed to two documents, because they
that's
do
fine.
Go, they go hand in hand. We can take the week to go through and clean those up for sure. That leaves us two meetings before the deadline. We're ahead of the game, I think.
We could possibly
yep.
wrap it all up in one more meeting.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I think so, too. And by the way, this letter that I'm writing, I will send that to the list also, so you guys can have a chance to look at that, because I think we should have a transmittal document that goes to the council with this particular document. And so we can spend a little bit of time next week on that. Then maybe next week we could spend some time talking about if there's anything else we need to do in preparation for releasing this information. You know, do we have to think about training at all, or when might we recommend for it to be implemented? Should it wait until the management procedures come out, or should we actually go ahead and recommend that the council actually do a work prioritization in advance? Those kinds of things.
Well, unfortunately, I'm completely out of time now. And I will be the whole week, but I think we should have an objective to a goal to finish our work in our next session.
I second that.
Okay.
And speaking as your staff support, I believe that's doable.
Okay. So let's adjourn.
Okay, I think we're done. Ken, thank you very much, and we'll be waiting for your clean documents with the new text included, and let's exchange some ideas, and we'll talk again next week.
Yep, congratulations, everybody. Good job.
Happy,
Okay.
Yeah, thanks again for all your help.
All right, guys. We'll talk to you soon.
Okay.
Bye. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.